Let me tell you what I find extremely humorous. When I go supermarket shopping for my foodstuffs, I get a shopping cart. And by the way, no matter what shopping cart I choose, there could be hundreds of shopping carts in the supermarket. Any shopping cart that I choose, the wheels are going like two different ways, like Peter Falk's face. And it's making some unseemly sound, this screeching, like there's someone in the apartment above me having sex and I'm trying to eat my dinner. It's an annoying screeching sound. Shopping carts never, ever, ever work properly. When I get most excited is when I go to a supermarket and I see that they've just received a shipment of new shopping carts. It's like buying a new car. You've gotten the latest model, and these babies are beautiful. They are beautiful. There's a nice coat of paint on them, and they're so smooth. Such a smooth ride. It's such a smooth ride. And they're fantastic, and no sound. No sound whatsoever. You could change a baby's diaper and hear a pin drop, and the cart, no sound at all. That was a horrible analogy. I don't know where I was going with that. That's so exciting to me. So I go to the supermarket. I get all my food stuffs. I get the dog food and the people food and the bird food. Everybody's got food and fish and meat and nitrates and sodium. I mean, all the stuff that everybody loves, you know, the stuff that'll kill you eventually if your age doesn't. And then I go to the checkout lane, and here's where the trouble always begins. I have never, ever, 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 ever been in a store of any type, supermarket or otherwise, where every register was open. It doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. Never. Even the busiest time of year, which is the Christmas holiday season, you would figure every store has at least 15 or 20 checkout lanes. 15 or 20. They're all across the front of the store. Tons of them. And they're never used. It's only one or two open. Maybe two. Maybe three on a really, really busy apocalypse. Never, ever, ever do you see every register open. If you ever do, and I'm talking about 15 lanes here, which is supermarket, Walmart kind of stuff, Kmart, Sears kind of, well, Sears, forget Sears. Forget Sears, by the way. Sears has got a policy of some sort where buy what you want, good luck trying to get it out of the building. For some reason, Sears will only employ one person at a time per store, and this is for everything. You have to literally get a search party together, wear a safari hat, get a large musket gun, walk through the store and see if you can find someone who works there, because I'm telling you, I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible. They have one lady who looks like she's about to quit. One lady at the register, and I think she used to work at the registry because her attitude just sucks totally. And I, all right, next. Here you have your Sears. Do you have a Sears card? By the way, I don't have a Sears card, and if I did, I don't think I'd use it. Have you checked out how much it costs you to use that card if you don't pay the full amount? The interest rate is like 80% or something. It's like, well, I'm exaggerating. 70%. It's really, really high. You better pay the thing in full. Otherwise, you might as well give them your second child as collateral. If you ever go into a supermarket and see every single lane open, please, please contact me and I'll send a camera crew down there immediately, because it just doesn't happen. And then you have to wonder, at what point in the construction of this store did they actually say to themselves, someday we're going to be so busy, we'll have every register open. What? It isn't never happened in the history of mankind. So why do you put 15 checkout lanes when you've only got three employees? I don't understand that. Is it to look like this is what we would do if we were busy, but we never are busy enough to put enough people in there to do this? Can you not find enough checkout people? Because I'll tell you, sometimes the line is 15, 20 people deep, and you've got like one person on the register. This annoys me somehow, to the point where I've opened the show with this, and I haven't even started it yet. Let's start it.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Sounds like I have a very petty life, doesn't it?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
It does sound like if you... Oh, did you hear how high my voice went? It does sound like when you listen to the show that I'm very anal. I do have a nice ass, I think. Is that what that means? I don't know. I really do. Most people are talking politics. I refuse to talk politics because I did that like for years and I'm sick of it. So don't come here for political conversation. I no longer give a crap. Apparently half of America doesn't give a crap, so I'm not going to give a crap either. Why should I be any different? Anyway, I'm not talking politics on this show anymore for quite some time, let's say. No, what I do in my professional capacity here is I go through life just like you do, only you seem to be very busy doing stuff. You seem to be occupied with your job, drinking beer on weekends, going to sporting events, keeping the children quiet so you can have some sanity. You seem pretty preoccupied. Me, on the other hand, I've got all the time in the world. And when I walk through life, and it's been like this since I was 5 years old, and I remember being 5 years old, I do, I really do. For me, life has been like just an observational thrill ride. Everything around you is weird. Everything around you kind of makes no sense. And even the things that do make sense eventually make no sense. It's because of us. It's because of our society. We are just so freaking stupid. We fall for things, we're manipulated, we're marketed, and we love it. We don't stand up for ourselves. We just lie down and let the steamroller do its duty. And that's what happened during the last election, by the way. But that's the way our society is headed. That's where it's at. We apparently are all in the mood for kissing somebody's ring, bowing to a dictator, anointing a king, and just sitting back and watch the dice roll. That's apparently what we do. Me, on the other hand, I don't put up with any of that crap. I can't do everything about everything. But I sure can put my lips on the microphone thing and tell you what you may not be seeing, which is right in front of you. And yeah, I guess I could do the political thing and the government thing. But more interesting to me are people, how different people are and how they are pawns. So I don't do the pawn thing. I've never been to a pawn shop, by the way. I've never watched porn either. All right, fine. Let's get back on track. So when I go to a supermarket, I'm not rushing in there with a cart, throwing stuff, food into the cart and checking out and leaving. For me, it's an entire social experience. It's true. When I go to a store, I'm seeing people around me doing stuff. I'm looking into their lives, this small window of opportunity that I have when our lives cross. You may have an overactive bladder. I have an overactive mind. Nothing appears as it is, and then that's it. Everything has a deeper, more substantial follow-up to it. Many things are sarcastically funny. So it's my job, as you whip through your life, for me to slow you down and be your third pair of eyes. For this, you must pay me heavily. My fee is $2,000 an hour. But for today, during this special promotional offer, I will do this show for free. But not forever. Not forever. I need to feed myself sometimes, too, to make those trips to the supermarket where I can get all upset because I am Mr. Grumpy. I've been called Mr. Grumpy. But you know what? I wear it on my sleeve like a badge of pride and honor.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today?
Well, today is it's getting cold in the area where my studio is because I don't pay the heating bill, but it's cold, and the forecast is for tomorrow. Is to freeze your ass off. It's the high temperature is like 10. it's so the number is so low that you don't even say degrees after it because it's just so shocking by itself. The high tomorrow will be fucking 10. I don't know. That's awful, man. That's cold. That's not the funniest part. The funniest part is, or the worst part, is that the wind chill factor. Do you ever hear about this wind chill factor thing? It's not so bad that it's that outside it's got a temperature of 10, but the winds are going to be about 20 miles an hour. That's a lot of wind. That's enough to blow a house down. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe a garage. Or maybe a carport that's not anchored to the ground, that's made with balsa wood. But still, it's a very heavy wind. You take a temperature outside of 10, and you add a wind speed of like 20, 25 miles an hour. They come up with a thing called a wind chill factor. The wind chill factor, to me, is simply don't go outside. Don't go outside. The wind chill factor brings it down to about minus 25 degrees. My freezer is zero. Minus 25, I think things would freeze rather quickly. And I was watching the weather report this morning, as I tend to do, because I don't watch the news anymore, because it's too depressing. I'll get into that in about a minute. The meteorologist, and I think, I don't know what qualifies you to be, I guess you have to, in high school, you have to sit there through a meteorologist. I really don't know what qualifies them. It's not like you can't get on TV and talk about the weather if you don't have a degree in meteorology. I don't think that's the case. I think most of these people are high school cheerleaders who couldn't find a job in cosmetology. Anyway, the weather person is saying to me that when you have a wind chill of like minus 25 degrees, that your skin exposed to this outside, you would get frostbite within about 1 minute. And I'm thinking, that's not enough time for me even to get to my car. How am I supposed to get to my car? You're telling me that I will freeze in my tracks if I walk out of a store and walk to find my car in the parking lot, that I shall freeze upon impact? That in parking lots of stores all over this country, or at least in my area, there'll be frozen people. Just you'll be walking, there's frozen people in motion, but frozen, you know? I don't know. By the way, that Disney movie, Frozen, what was that about? Was that about Walt Disney being frozen? Didn't they freeze his body in case someday they come up with a cure for something? Yeah, we're getting close to that cure, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're just about a day away from that cure of whatever he had. I don't know. Body's frozen somewhere. I thought the movie Frozen was about Disney, and I also thought Disney on Ice, they just, you pay like $100 and they wheel him out, and he's frozen, and you go, ooh, that's odd, and then they put him back, and you go home. I don't know. I don't know this Disney stuff too well. Anyway, it's going to be cold tomorrow. There aren't enough clothes manufactured in the United States in order to keep you warm tomorrow. That's why Taiwan and the Philippines come in very handy. Because that's where they make all the clothes, by the way. It is. It is. If a button pops off of your shirt, you should literally say, oh, those damn Taiwanese can't make a decent shirt anymore. If you buy your shirts at the dollar store, I don't think you're going to expect real great quality involved. Anyway, tomorrow, very, very cold, freezing temperatures. Be very, very careful. Don't touch metal with your penis and be very, just don't go out. And don't leave your dogs outside unless you want a frozen dog on a stick, because I'm telling you, it's going to be cold. It's the winter in the Northeast, and this is the start of it. It's the Happy Winter tribute band here. It's... I hate to layer. I don't like layering. I never liked layering. T-shirt, shirt, sweater, sweatshirt, then a heavy winter jacket. That's the Michelin man. I never like layer. I don't even like that stuff you buy, that Mexican dip, where it has the guacamole and then the salsa and then cheese and then another layer of guacamole, another layer of salsa, another layer of cheese. That's layering to me. I don't even like layering. Lasagna, tasty, but layering. You know, give me a noodle, some sauce, and let's call it a day. What are we layering this thing for? You know, why does it have to be so big and so deep? Why does it have to be so big and so deep?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Happy holidays to you, by the way. Hope you're surviving this fiasco. And then when the Christmas and the Hanukkah thing is over, it's unfortunate that they don't have that sound for Christmas. I think all the holidays should have that sound. How is your Hanukkah? Wonderful. How is your Christmas? It was fun, but we're going to go out on New Year's. New Year's is a horrible holiday. It's one of my all-time horrible holidays because you feel obligated to do something even though there's nothing to do. It is a holiday for drunks. It is. It's even advertised that on New Year's Eve, you are to drink champagne at midnight. You are to do it. Otherwise, you shall not be part of our society, and you will not belong to our planet. This is what we do all across the world. This is what we do. We drink alcohol at midnight. What other holiday globally would say, believe me, you must drink at midnight. You must have champagne or something. And of course, in our country and in many other countries, you must drink all night and then top it off with the champagne at midnight. It's a horrible, horrible holiday because everybody on the road is freaking drunk or close to it. And you don't need texting and taking your eyes off the road to unwrap the sandwich in order to have a dangerous situation on New Year's Eve. And here's what makes it even worse, as basically all the drivers are inebriated. Let's face it. You don't admit it, but it's true. Let's add the fact that it's one of the coldest days of the year, too. So the road can get icy, and we're talking about people being out at 1 o'clock in the morning, driving on the roads, totally shit-faced, with some black ice and some snow on the ground, and the roads are slippery. What a perfect storm for a good time. Most smart people say to themselves, by the time it hits midnight, I'm going to be home, and either I'm going to spoon with my dog, or my significant other, or even my insignificant other, but I will not be on the roads after midnight, and I really suggest that. Very soon, there'll be a New Year's Eve where pot will be legal, which could be this year for many states, including Massachusetts. So it's just going to be a potpourri of good luck to you stuff. So I strongly suggest you plant your ass at home midnight on New Year's Eve, just the stupidest holiday ever. And especially this year, it's especially stupid because we're saying goodbye to 2016, which was a sucky, sucky, sucky year, basically because of that damn political crap that was shoved down my throat for over 12 months. Don't you ever do that again. You ruined my life for 12 months. It was a horrible year. Two candidates that couldn't change a tire. One of them wouldn't change a tire. A horrible, horrible, just and name calling and awful stuff. Just awful stuff. And I don't think it's ended, to be honest with you. But it's been a horrible, horrible year. And now we're supposed to ring in the new year, 2017, with an asshole at the helm. Good luck to us. This is a New Year's worth celebrating? No. It's the kind of New Year's you just say to yourself, well, I don't know what you're talking about. New Year, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. By the way, to top it all off, champagne gives me a headache. And I talk to a lot of people because I have to, not because I want to. And they have the same problem. They can drink all kinds of stuff. They can drink tequila, you name the stuff, and, you know, and get sloshed and all that. But as soon as they have one sip of champagne, it's, oh, no, my head, it's killing me. Oh, my head is pounding. Don't drink champagne at midnight. But I have to, Ron. It's tradition. Oh, I see. I gotcha. It's the tradition that screwed you up is what it is. Tradition screws you up. All the religious wars that we have across the globe, they're all based on tradition. Tradition don't get you nowhere. Tradition keeps you in the past always, keeps that grudge open always, makes you hate everybody else always. I shall never forgive, I shall never forget. That's what tradition does. Tradition and religion, they go hand in hand and hand as if you had three hands. Anyway, I digress once again. My river runs both ways. A new year, an old year. This is a time when you watch television and everybody's talking, doing a review of 2016. Spare me. Tell me when it's going to be on to make sure that I won't watch it. I don't want to recap the horrible things. Which brings me to the news, as I lightly touch upon many subjects today, because I am Mr. Grumpy. How are you? Good to meet you. I will turn you into Mr. Grumpy and Mrs. Grumpy as well, because I'm catching. After people spend some time with me, listen to this show, they all of a sudden say, Ron's right. Yeah, he's right. People should stay off your lawn. I will no longer watch the news. I won't watch local news. I won't watch national news. I won't watch international news. I won't watch CNN. I won't watch Fox. I won't watch MSNBC. I won't watch whatever is left. Because I don't care to know anymore. I just don't care to know. I just don't care to know. Because all the news sucks. Now, if there was a show that was called Happy News, I might watch that. This is news where advances have been made in technology, advances have been made in the medical field, they've cured cancer or something, or people live longer now, here's a healthy way to eat, here's a woman who's 86 years old who built her own barn, here's a guy who saved the lives of two people, they were drowning in a pool, and he drummed, he went in and he saved their lives. I want to see a cat being rescued from a tree. And I know you're saying to yourself, Ron, what? No, that's a good feeling thing. I mean, and I'm not getting real cheerleader on you. I mean, it doesn't have to be soppy good stuff. Just good news. Good news. But every news organization tells me the most horrible thing possible. Shows me the number of people that have died in a fire or in an auto accident or a boat or something. All the horrific, horrible things that have happened to people around the world. Ron, you must know about it firsthand, and I will tell you. And not only will I tell you, but like CNN, I will drill every single piece of detail into your flailing little negative body. Well, no. You're not going to do that to me anymore because I can make choices. Oh, you're an American? You're a human being who actually thinks they can make choices for themselves? Yes, I do. And I exercise that every day. And people will call me grumpy, too opinionated, too set in my ways. No. That's what you call it if you don't understand it. I know what I want. I know myself by now, and I'm not putting up with your crap anymore. I'll observe it, I'll laugh at it, I'll find it amusing, but I will not participate in it. And that's my 2017. At the same time, I will respect others. If other people want to live their lives in a vapid, stupid, moranic type of atmosphere, and to follow and kiss rings, well, you go for it, babe. You go, girl. You go, guy. Go do it. But I will not join in your reindeer games. All right, kids. I've talked enough for today. It's time to talk to our guests. Did you find that at all helpful to you?
It was unbelievably painful.
Okay, all right. Then I'll hold up a puppy.
Aww.
I'll hold up two puppies.
Aww.
I'll hold up three puppies.
Aww.
I'll hold up four puppies.
Aww.
Are you seeing a pattern? Let's speak to one of our guests for today, and we have so many wonderful people to speak to, because it is holiday time, and it's important that you know things. I really do. You're familiar, certainly, with people. You know people, don't you? Ron, you sound like you're stalling for some reason. Yes, I am. I am stalling. Why? Here we go. Chris Schloop, I think his name is. He's editor Amazon's best books. Do you read books still? Do you still read? Chris is here. Hey, Chris.
Good. How you doing, Ron? It's a little early here, but I'm doing great.
Well, make believe it's not early, and that's what I do. Yeah. I just make believe it is.
Yeah,
it's not that.
The stars were out, which is not always the case in Seattle. So no. It was nice.
Oh, Seattle. Is that where you are now?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But I'm glad to speak to you nonetheless. Chris is a publishing industry veteran who's part of a team of editors that decide what books make the best books of 2016. That must require a lot of reading or sampling from a hell of a lot of books.
Yes, it does. We have a team of five editors, and we're all kind of extreme readers. So we read hundreds of thousands of pages a year.
Oh my God.
And our job is to boil it down and, you know, recommend books to a wide variety of readers at Amazon.
Yeah. And when we're talking about books, we're talking about like many, many categories, not just fiction or anything like that. It's like everything.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, our motto is sort of, you know, reading is supposed to be a joy. So we try to keep that in mind. We look at literary merit, but we look at a lot of different things.
Okay. It must be hard to keep in mind when you're reading hundreds of thousands of pages a year. Anyway.
Yeah, you know, it's still fun.
Okay.
I'm, you know, if someone had told me in college that this could be a job, I would have told them they were a liar. So I'm pretty happy with what I have to do.
Oh, it became a big job, apparently, there.
Yeah.
Okay, and Amazon, my God, I mean, could you work for a bigger company? I don't think you could. Okay.
No, but we're a small team.
Yeah, I know. You'd figure they could spend some more money and pay you billions of dollars to do this. I'll talk to them. All right, let's get into the list. What are some of the best books for 2016? Because it's time for us to go holiday shopping, and for our book reading friends, this could be quite valuable to us right now.
Yeah, well, our number one book was Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead, and that was kind of, I would say, the number one book of the year. It won the National Book Award. Oprah picked it. It's about a young slave woman who's trying to make her way out of the South through the Underground Railroad, but the Underground Railroad is actually real in this book. It's not a metaphor. It's an actual railroad.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an inventive, beautifully written, important book, but it's also entertaining. You want to keep picking it up and reading it, and that was important to us.
Okay, and also that Oprah recommended it. My God, I mean, seriously? Okay, let's move to the next one.
Yeah, I know.
What's the next offering?
I think another book I would want to recommend, I would say The Underground Railroad is the book that I'll remember the most 5 years from now, book I probably enjoyed the most.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun, is a book called Before the Fall by Noah Hawley, and it's kind of a different kind of thriller. The setup is that there's a private plane sitting on the tarmac on Martha's Vineyard. There are a bunch of important people on it. There are always important people on private planes.
Yeah.
At the last minute, a local artist gets on the plane, a few minutes later, the plane crashes in the ocean. And there are only two survivors, the artist and the son of a media mogul, the young son of a media mogul. And so the whole book is spent looking at everybody who was on the plane and trying to figure out why it went down. And it's just a great, fun read. Wow. I really enjoyed that.
It almost sounded like the beginning of a joke, a Jew, a Protestant, a Catholic walk into a bar, but it's not that.
Yes, but not funny.
But not funny, okay. Yeah. I don't know what the punchline is, by the way, I'm just saying. And by the way, that never happens. They never do that. Okay, yeah, let me ask you a question here, just off the cuff.
Sure.
A lot of people I know read books online and on their tablets, but I'm thinking that's still a very select group of people. Do Americans still have a romance with the book in which you sit in a chair and you open it up and you read it and hold it in your hands? Will that love affair ever really die?
I don't think so. I mean, I personally have so many books on my shelves.
Yeah.
They're almost like furniture, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a part of my life. I mean, I read on all formats. I read on a Kindle, and I also read physical books. Uh-huh. And to me, it's really about the words. I mean, what I always say to people is that those books weren't, you know, they weren't written on paper.
Yeah.
Excuse me. They were typed onto a computer. So the fact that you're reading it on a screen, it doesn't really matter that much.
I guess not, especially if you're with Amazon and they're the makers of the Kindle, but I get that. But I just...
I'm surrounded by books, I can assure you.
Yeah, I mean, and when we're talking about gifting, you know, you're talking about handing somebody a book, which is...
That's right. From.
Okay, give me one more...
And they're super easy to wrap, Ron. They're very easy to wrap. So,
yes.
they're great gifts.
Are we talking about the Kindles or the books? Well, Kindles...
No, the books.
Kindle's easy to wrap, too.
that's true.
Give me another suggestion on a book.
A book that isn't on this list, yep. but that I have been looking at lately is, and I think it's a great gift, is Lonely Planet has a new book called The National Parks of America.
Uh-huh.
And it's the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service.
Oh.
And I brought a copy home, and it's been sitting on my coffee table. And I was looking at it the other day, and I was like, I've got to recommend this book to people because it's absolutely gorgeous. And I think it would be a great gift.
Yeah. See, that's the other category that I wasn't even thinking of. We're talking about books, well-written books of all types. But yeah, the gift book can also be something that is extraordinarily beautiful, beautiful images, et cetera. There you go. That's true. That's also a big gift part of this year. Interesting.
Yeah, there's one other book that I also brought home recently called The Metropolitan Museum of Art Masterpiece Paintings.
Oh.
That book weighs about 50 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Again, absolutely beautiful. And, you know, I don't think you can really go wrong with it.
Yeah.
If you have an art lover in your family or art lover who's a friend.
Well, okay, where can we go for information if we want to take a look at this list?
You can go to amazon.com/bestbooks2016, and you can see all of our books there. We have hundreds of books listed.
Wonderful. Christian Loops, thank you so much. He has one of the best jobs in the world, and thank you for sharing it with us today.
Thank you.
Take care, Chris.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me. Waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
I've used Bob to actually build a closet for me in my bedroom, and believe me, he was naked. Anyway, Katya Beauchamp joins us now. Before I introduce her, let me just point out what a wonderful name she has. First of all, let's take the first name. Katya. Oh my God. Can you not be exotic and have the name Katya? No. You have to be exotic. You have to be fairly good looking too. And Katya is. Now let's take the last name. Beauchamp. Oh my God. Another great name. I don't know what it means when it's broken down, but I think it means, oh my God, what a great name. I think it does. I mean, how can you not be successful and have a name like Beauchamp? Ladies and gentlemen, live on our stage, Katiana Beauchamp. I don't know what she does, but I want to watch her do it. Certain names work for people. This works for her. Let's talk to her.
Hi, Ron.
How are you, Katya?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Katya Beauchamp joins us now. She's CEO and Project Runway fashion startup star and explains what women... Is that right? You are.
Well, I don't know if I'm the star.
Well,
okay. Best stars on the show.
Okay,
this is a really fun experience.
Well, I think you're the star, and that's all that counts. we're going to talk about what women want from their beauty products in 2016. And you have a lot of insight into this the beauty industry, I understand.
Yes. We started Birchbox 6 years ago,
uh-huh.
where we help women really enjoy discovering beauty and shopping for beauty, and we really change the whole way it can work for you.
Okay. Now, what if women want to get into their own business in this regard? Is that easy to do? Difficult? Is it possible?
Everything is possible, Ron.
Okay.
I mean, starting a company is so wonderful, so exhilarating, so exciting, and it's incredibly challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really set out to try to do something exceptional. We wanted to completely reinvent the way women, you know, experience the beauty industry. We really felt it was overwhelming for us and confusing and just not the most efficient and delightful experience to shop for beauty.
Right.
And we took a really bold idea. We said we're going to change everything about it. We're going to change the way the brands meet the customer, the way the customer meets the brands, and where the customer shops for beauty. Because when we launched Birchbox, you know, 95% of beauty was still bought in stores.
Mm-hmm.
And we really thought there was the potential for people to enjoy shopping for beauty on the internet.
And how has this changed everything? Is this just a new concept in a way, especially the way that you're doing it?
Yeah, it is a new concept. So what we wanted to overcome was that the internet was a place where you couldn't really touch and try beauty.
Right.
So we launched Birchbox to give you a way to have a personalized sampling experience. So when you sign up for Birchbox, it's $10, and you get samples that are personalized based on what your preferences are, what you look like,
mm-hmm.
every single month. And then anything you love, you can buy directly from Birchbox.com. So
entry instead of off. The...
Sorry?
No, I didn't. That wasn't me.
Okay. Instead of the world where, you know, you have hundreds of thousands of choices, every month we just present you with five that have been selected for you,
mm-hmm.
and you can decide, I like this, I love this, I'm going to buy this, and it just comes at a cadence that is really enjoyable and highly efficient.
So this is like hands-on without ever actually having your hands on it, but virtually you are.
Exactly. So you can kind of sit back and let Birchbox do the work. So for the average woman that doesn't really have time or may not just be obsessed with beauty,
mm-hmm.
you can still really step up your beauty routine. You can learn about the newest launches
mm-hmm.
from brand new brands that are up and coming and from brands that have been around for decades. And we take care of all of the hard work. And when you're ready to buy, you can just go to Birchbox.com or on our app, and you can purchase everything directly from Birchbox. And we have a really very rewarding loyalty program. So
excellent.
It's a great place to buy beauty.
Well, let's talk about beauty during the holidays, because you know, this is the time to gift. And what advice can you give us in that category?
Sure. So for us at Birchbox, we sell, you know, tens of thousands of beauty products, but the Birchbox subscription itself is the biggest gift for us this time of year. So it's a great product because of two things. One, it's really affordable. You can get 3 months for $30, and 6 months for $60, and 12 months for $110. Oh. And it's also a really fun gift because it's personalized. So the gift giver doesn't have to do that. Once the recipient sets up their account, it's a personalized experience. And people also really love it because every month the recipient tends to thank the gift giver. So it isn't just in December when you get that, thank you so much. And so it kind of is a really connective gift where people really like it. We also, you know, we really love creating experiences that are unique in beauty. So we do exclusives where we curate gift box sets that are limited edition, full of beauty products that are great for every woman, but kind of defined by different types of women, whether you are into more high-end luxury or kind of cult trends that are happening right now.
Wow. So it's, in a sense, it's a membership to belong to this.
Yes. So Birchbox, you can subscribe to it, but if you want to just shop Birchbox and shop our exclusive kits for the holiday or anything at all, anybody can always buy.
All right.
The subscription itself is just a way for you to discover, and it's a really fun way to kind of start learning about beauty at your own pace.
Okay, so as a guy, which I am, I don't have to know a lot about beauty. I don't have to figure out what she may need or she may want or she may use or where she's inclined to go. All I need to do is gift her this, and then it's her own world.
Exactly. So
I like that.
A really easy gift for somebody that, you know, would enjoy it. And our mantra is, you know, every woman, whether she's obsessed with beauty or really somebody who just dabbles, this is a great gift for her. And actually for somebody who is less obsessed with beauty, it's such a fun way for her to actually start to learn beauty. So, yes, a lot of guys gift Birchbox around this time of year. And actually, we have Birchbox Man, so a lot of women gift Birchbox Man, too, because even men like to participate in the beautifying or handsome-fying.
Oh, hold on now. So you have products that men would get engaged with as well for their own use?
Yes. So we have the most robust men's grooming catalog that exists.
Oh.
We have every brand you could ever imagine that you might have heard of that you see in stores. But we also have all of the up-and-coming brands, and it's a really similar experience. But with men's, you also get some sort of lifestyle accessories. You could get headphones or socks, things for, you know, your bar.
Okay.
And it's a really fun way for guys to start to get to know grooming again without really changing their own behavior.
Yeah, but see, guys are embarrassed about grooming and looking good. They want to, but they don't tell you that. That's supposed to be, you know, just, you know. So this is good. So you don't have to walk into stores and look through this area in the department store. You can do this online with you. I would like
this. You can kind of sit back at home and let it happen, or ask somebody to gift it to you and let it happen.
I like it. Okay, everybody, I'm interested in this gift certificate app. Get me signed up. Okay.
Yeah, I can totally get you signed up, Ron. You're going to love it.
That's great. Hey, this is a great idea. I love it. Okay, where can we go to actually partake here?
So you can visit Birchbox.com. You can sign up for yourself there or gift it. Women's is $10 a month, men's is $20 a month, and then we have gift packages for 3, 6, and 12 months for both.
Very, very good. And does it print out something that so I can hand this to somebody?
Yeah. So actually, you're still in time to get the boxes delivered in time. So you can get your first box delivered for under the tree, and then the next boxes will start coming in January and so on.
Okay.
But if you want to get a gift cards are available too. So we'll mail you a gift card that's really beautiful, and you can get that. And if you would rather print it, that is an option as well.
Wonderful. All right. Hey, Katya, thank you so much for the information. Kind of interesting stuff. I didn't know it even existed. Now I do. And continue.
So excited to tell you about it, Ron.
It's very cool.
I also love it when someone hasn't heard about it, because I do think there's so many more people that want to find this product.
Well, when someone hears about it, they tell other people about it, and that's how things explode and become big. And congratulations to you, and continued success.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, she was lovely. 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 She was lovely. Lovely.
The city streets are empty now. The lights don't shine no more.
If you were told that a sales representative was coming to your house and her name is Susan Pitts, you'd go, fine, whatever. I'm not even going to take my pajama pants off. But if you found out that coming over to your house was Katiana Beauchamp, wow. Well, anyway, we're out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, Katya and I wish you peace. Katya. All you got to do, no matter what your name is, if you're a female, change your name to Katya, I guarantee you. Good things will probably happen.